I'm very thankful for my family, thankful for my wife, thankful for my children, thankful for the people here that I have fallen in love with. Thank you. And God has really blessed our family. I wish Chandra could have been here this morning. She wished she could have too, being thank offering Sunday and the boys too. So it's always hard. I always miss my wife terribly. She gives me looks when I'm getting off track and helps me out. So today I wanted to talk about love a little bit. And if you look in your bulletins, the sermon message is called No God, No Love, N-O, and No God, No Love, K-N-O-W. And the message from the beginning of the Bible is love. The message is love. Love should be the most talked about, the most preached about, the most thought about subject, because it's behind everything that we do. It's behind God, because love is who God is. And as we give a thank offering this morning, the message that we're giving this offering through is love. It's an offering of love. What does Paul teach in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3? Is if I can, or 3 through 7, if I can do anything, but if love is not behind it, what's it worth? It says I can sing with the voices of angels, but if I'm not singing from a heart of love, the truth is I'm just a clanging cymbal. I can prophesy in the tongues of men. I can give away all my possessions, but if I don't do it with love, I'm just a resounding gong. I mean, God is saying in the Bible that without love, it's worthless. God wants love because that's what God is. God is love. And that was a really hard truth for me to realize, because that's not what the world says love is. That's not what we like to say. It's like, well, it's the thought that counts. Well, if you didn't have love in your heart, God says that it wasn't the offering that you thought it was. I mean, that's the truth, and it's a hard truth. 1 John 4, chapter 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." So love comes from God. And 1 John 4, 16b says, "God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him." Now, love can be a very tricky subject, I think. I know. Because the word or the term love becomes so misused and abused, we add to it, we take away from it. We get to what's truth and what's false, we get them so meshed together, and we come up with all of these different definitions that suit our hearts and our sin, that we begin to claim things about love that we don't even realize we've got the wrong definition. We use the term love and don't even realize that we have no idea what love really is. I want to read 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. It's entitled, "Love One Another. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us." Now, God says two things about love. In verse 18, God says that we need to love. He says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, like we so like to do, but with actions and in truth." So he says two things. We need to be loving in action, and we need to be loving in truth. Let's talk about action a little bit. Love in action. Verse 16, he lays it out for us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. The Word had to become flesh to die on the cross and set straight what love is. It's the message at the beginning. It says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We've been messing up love from the beginning. Claiming certain actions or tendencies, and I do this, oh, but I still love you, or I've got this in my heart, but, you know, I still love you. I'm not perfect. No, nobody's perfect. But love is spelled out so clearly in the Bible. Verse 16, the Word became flesh, died on the cross to set straight what love is, which we have been messing up from the beginning. And verse 17, it talks about providing for our brothers in needs. If you have material possessions and you see your brother in need but have no pity on him, well, the love of God must not be in you. That's love in action. God spelled it out for us. Love in truth. The truth part, I think we get a little confused on because we all understand the actions, right? We all understand how to act, but the truth is the part that comes, it only comes from God. Love and truth means loving in the manner that comes from God, loving in the true definition of the word. That's what loving and truth is. See, we don't get to define love. For a long time, I was defining love. I would tell people how I was going to love them. I was defining my love for them when the truth is that it's already defined. The key spiritual warfare is to mess up what we call love. You know that? That's the easiest form of warfare I feel is all we have to do is mess up the definition of love. Because when you change the definition of love, you change the definition of God. Because God is love. If Satan can convince people that love is something not of God, then that's who God is to people. And they don't understand God. In verse 16, Jesus defined love for us so that there would be no confusion. If you would lay your life down for others, you have love. If you see your brother in need and you take care of him, you have the love of God. You cannot define love in our own words. Do not define, I've learned, God has just been saying to me, Nathan, do not define love in your own words. Do not define love with your own assumptions of how you assume you love. Love is already defined in the Bible. God is saying they're my words. It's my definition. It doesn't matter what you say about it. That doesn't change what love truly is. And I'm supposed to reflect that love. So I have to learn from He who is love. The definition of love, I'll be honest with you, pretty hard to live up to, isn't it? Anybody read some of the definitions that we have in the Bible of love? I hope so. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, that's a good one, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and the crowning three-letter jewel, love never fails. That's what love is. Also in Romans, I was studying in chapter 12, and here's something else Paul wrote about love. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. That's not possible, is it? say that all the time. I've got a wife who knows this definition. Says, you're not doing it. I'm like, it's not possible. And the response, well, you can do better than you are now. The definition of love is hard to live up to, but you know these words. These words aren't a checklist for you to check off and say, well, I need to work on this, I need to work on this, I need to work on this. That's not the point. This is what God is. This is how God loves, and these are his instructions for how, if you are living in love, the love of God, Romans 12, 9 through 21 says, this is how you will live if you are living in the love of God. This isn't a checklist that we're supposed to go through. Rather, this is a guide to help you realize how close you are to God. It's a guide to realize how close you are to God. If you're struggling with these things, you need to be closer to God. Let's go back to the beginning. The message from the beginning has been what? God wants to be close with you. God is love. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. We read that already in 1 John 4:7. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And John 4:16b, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. I think sometimes we in our humanness, we think backwards about this, saying, okay, well, if I'm living in love, that means I'm living in God. No, it's the other way around. Doesn't mean that you need to work on your qualities of love to live in God. These verses are saying that if you are living in love, if you get love, it is because you are living in God. It is because you are living in God. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God is really saying God is love. When you live in God, you understand love and you live in love because God is love. Love only comes from God. Let me hear you say that. Love only comes from God. Say it like you mean it. You believe it.
Love only comes from God.
I don't know how to love apart from God. Do you think that about yourselves? I am incapable of love outside of my relationship with God. Not real love. You can take all these definitions, and yeah, I can do some of that. But real love, we are all incapable of outside of God, because love only comes from God. I heard a song this last week, and it was just an awesome song. Chris August, and it's called Starry Night. And he talks about God who made the moon to reflect the sunlight. And it just made me think, you know, the moon shines at night only because of what? The sun. The moon is only a reflection of the sunlight. It's really just sunlight. And without the sun, we would never see the moon at all. Likewise, we are just moons and God is the sun. Without the sun is the love. Without God's love, we cannot reflect love. We cannot know love. We are unable to love without God. We only know love when we know God, for love comes from God. We only know love from God. When we struggle living up to this definition, it's not that we need to work harder at checking off our lists. It means we need to check our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the closer we come to him, the closer we come to loving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us so many resources. The only thing that we need, Father God, really is our relationship with you. You've given us the Bible. You've given us spiritual leaders. You've given us the Holy Spirit, the counselor. You've given us all of these things, and yet we're still claiming so much of our humanness, saying, I know I do. Saying, well, I'm never going to be able to love like you. Father God, we want our offerings to come to you out of a love that is holy in our hearts, even with our sinful nature, even with our being human and not being sanctified completely yet, Father God. May we draw close to you and understand what it means to live with one another in love. what it means to really love our spouses, what it means to really love our neighbor and to love one another, not by our definition, not by the world's definitions or even by the church's definition, but by the words that you have already laid out in the Bible for us. We draw close to you. We know that the closer we draw to you, the farther away our problems go. Within our families, within our church, within our relationships with everybody. May we draw close to you this week, Father God, as we think and as we reflect on this last year. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, let us be truly faithful. May our thanks and our offerings be given out of a heart that knows love because we know you. Amen.